So getting back to this term that you've made up, migratory birds, to describe these people that are placed in corporations after they've done their task for the government?
That's right. Once they plant their evidence or they're involved in the political murders and they're used as witnesses, or like the Justice Department says, they say they use them as spies or ex-informers. These are people that provide information on alleged assassins that isn't true, and they know their life will be in danger. They sort of frame them in court, and the government places them into jobs and offers them positions in defense industries and ammunition factories, particularly in the Southwest. And I discovered this pattern as I was reading the witness testimony and made this cross-filing system.
So the Zodiac news story sort of fits right in.
Exactly.
What you've been talking about.
To summarize, before I want to go back to the shooting of Wallace, but just to summarize the news stories from the New Orleans State item and what Pershing Gervais is saying in Zodiac news is that I have filing systems on political assassinations, manila envelopes, where I separate various subject matters, a single article. I will put it into various subject matters, like mathematical columns I've explained before, because just to put the article in one place doesn't describe what's happening. So I take the information about Pershing Gervais being hired by the Justice Department, and I put it under Justice Department planting evidence against somebody. Because, you see, I'm building a case like this Seattle case that we talked about, that they are the criminals. So in every instance where they plant evidence against people, make somebody look guilty who's really innocent, they are actually the criminals, the conspirators. Then I filed under the Justice Department effecting trials, because the legal system, not only they're trying to get Garrison into court and get him to jail in these heavy sentences, and they are interfering with the legal processes. They are making him look guilty. And in many cases, there's very, very people who are also innocent, and the Justice Department mishandles evidence that they themselves didn't plant, but they hinder the truth coming out. So there's two distinctions. In this case, they're actually involved in the conspiracy. And the second place, they are affecting the legal system. And then I cross-file this under news media and news control until I see this article in the New York Times, and I take 8 papers a day. The underground press will pick it up, but I'm waiting to see the major news service, Reuters, Associated Press, United Press. If they don't carry it, and these are heavy accusations that come from Canada, that come from Pershing Gervais, the Canadian government has admitted that the head of the intelligence there, employment, W.L. Higgins, has admitted that they were involved in this, and they have not denied their role, neither has General Motors up there. So this isn't just blowing in the wind. And if there's such news control in this country that people don't know about it, I put that under news control so that you have instances of how many times something really important about political assassinations comes across that you are not told about. I have many things that I get from all the newspapers that I take that do not come over all the papers that you're not told about. But my specialty is things relating to political assassinations. And then I cross-file this under documents forged, like birth certificates, passports, and because this is done by our Justice Department, not to protect people's lives, but to lock innocent people in jail and provide documents to save the guilty, let them run away and be free. The people that plant the evidence are freed by forged documents issued by our Justice Department. Then you get into the use of aliases. They also provide those. They provide covers. See, the Justice Department should be rounding up criminals. They shouldn't be the criminal. And they do everything to hide their traces. So they produce documents. They stop the news from being told. They give aliases. And then I have the thing about jobs where conspirators go. This goes into migratory birds. And jobs where I have indication that men are on salaries that for things that they're not earning. Like Lee Harvey Oswald and James Ray and Sirhan Sirhan, whether getting money, or Bremer. You'll find that he quit his job in Milwaukee in January, but he's been moving around and spending a lot of money. Then I also have it under people who get off from being prosecuted. Nobody here is going to be called in or prosecuted. Now, the chain of command goes to 3 people in the Justice Department that Pershing Gervais has named. It will never get up to John Mitchell being arrested for this conspiracy. He should be. But he'll get off. And why should he get off? And then I have another thing called change of command. how you lose your traces, and this involves all the other processes, and is something like migratory bird, but how in a political assassination, you can't start right off the bat and say, Richard Nixon did it or Lyndon Johnson did it. There's a long chain of command, just like Tony Boyle, the mine workers being pulled in now. The money that is passed for killing, when you hire somebody to kill or plant evidence, maybe changes hands 20 times. It's very hard to find the original culprit. And it's not my job, when I say there's political conspiracies, to name every single person in the chain of command. But I think some of them should be called in. And then I have a thing called witnesses to call. And these are members of the Justice Department that have been named. And who does the forging of documents? What department hands out the aliases? And then it goes into government and clandestine finances. How much of the taxpayers' money is spent paying people for jobs? I'm sure that the Canadian General Motors is given money from our Justice Department, $18,000, just to pay Gervais, to not do anything. This is just to get Jim Garrison. How much of your taxpayers' money? If the Justice Department told the Zodiac News they have 100 such people, I can mention 100 people that were involved in the John Kennedy murder that were financed and moved around. They're lying about that. They have hundreds. And then I have CIA cooperation in other countries, how the intelligence agencies help us frame Jim Garrison, take these people in. They know what role Gervais had and how we cooperate with other countries in doing intelligence work. That instead of looking for justice, they help us hide the guilty and the people that are lying and planning the evidence, and they go along with us and cooperate. Well, that covers the Jim Garrison case in New Orleans pretty well to date, and I think the federal government should be prosecuted, the Justice Department, for all the charges I make about them every week, and more evidence is coming through. If we analyze it together just slowly and on the air.
Before we go to Wallace, let's use this transition as a chance to comment on the postcards that we asked for last week. Did get quite a few.
Yeah.
And we thank the people who responded, and you will note at the end of the program that we will remind you of the address to write if you have any questions that you'd like answered on the next program. If possible, they will be answered, or if you have any comments. And we encourage the people who heard the request last week to the request to send a postcard, just simply stating that you're a listener and that you follow the program and you want it to continue. It helps to show that to station management to make sure the program stays on. So if you're listening now and you find yourself, you don't have to agree, but if you find yourself intellectually challenged, and if you would like to indicate that you are a listener, just send a card. A postcard is all it will take, actually. To Dialogue Conspiracy, care of KLRB, Box 3904 in Carmel. That's all there is to it. Let's go to Wallace.
Okay, just before we went on the air, somebody called the station and was talking to you, Phil, and asked a question about how I tied Wallace into the political conspiracy. And I'll answer that in, like you said, 1,000 words or less. We've done 2 shows, and we're going to go on some more details of the Brehmer thing since we met last week. We have done 2 shows on Wallace, and it's hard to go back. It's a continual process, and we hope everybody who listens keeps listening and follows it up. But the question was asked on the telephone, ask May how she connects the Governor Wallace shooting to the general conspiracy. Was that the question you were asked? So my answer...
Right, well, the person had wondered.
Yeah, so I had just finished completing this week an article for the conspiracy newsletter that's coming out, and we'll have to give you that address before we go off, on tying together the Governor Wallace shooting to the past political assassinations. And the way I see it is that the shooting of Governor Wallace is to set the stage for Nixon's assassination. This is based on many books and articles of research, and I can't go into all the references now.
Why do you need to set the stage for his assassination, alleged assassination?
Why do you have to set the stage? Well, because if you just shoot Nixon, and you say, well, you're going to take Agnew, here's your president, people may get pretty mad. They may think, oh, Agnew manipulated this or staged it. See, Agnew's being very low-key now. He's just staying in the background. John Connally's staying in the background, and everything's very quiet in their camp. They're very low-key. And Reagan loves Nixon, and Agnew loves Nixon, and everybody's, having a love affair with Nixon, and they're very quiet. But the important thing is that the Secret Service has come out now, and I think they placed Brehmer there and photographed him in these crowds in Canada so they could say See, no matter how much surveillance we have or data banks, there's no way to find an assassin. Then you have Patrick Gray coming out today, or yesterday rather, and saying there's no way to detect an assassin. So you have the Secret Service, the FBI, have no responsibility. If Richard Nixon is killed, they have no responsibility. Then you go into the thing of Louis Tackwood's charges in the L.A. Police Department that they were planning through Squad 19, criminal conspiracy section, to kill Richard Nixon. In order, they were going to plant bombs first and have the radicals rounded up. This is what we talk about, your provocateurs in San Diego. And that the same thing that Hitler did with the Reichstag fire when he came into power, they were to round up all the radicals and have an emergency state because of the chaos or the violence in this country of certain people being killed in San Diego. And in lieu of this temporary police state or emergency power, then Richard Nixon would be killed, and they would say, well, now we absolutely need the power. You see, if the emergency state is set, wherever the convention is, by increased violence or killing innocent members of Congress and government, at a convention, and if you round up all the radicals and have planted these bombs, you have all the machinery ready to create a total police state. And Louis Tackwood said that this police state goes all the way from the top down. This isn't just in the L.A. Police Department. It involves the FBI and officials from the top down. And that he stopped being a provocateur for the police department just as Pershing Gervais surfaced, because the whole thing was repugnant to him, and he knew that then it would be a police state. So you have the Tackwood charges. Then who do you have sitting one bullet away from Richard Nixon? You have Spiro Agnew. Now, it was very important to the same people that overthrew Greece, the Pappas Foundation, the Lytton Industries, as a conduit of funds, that Agnew be selected as the vice president. Why would they want him as their vice president unless they realized his potential as a president? So the same people that overthrew a conservative government in Greece, who had the chance of becoming more liberal 3 months later, and put in a fascist military dictatorship, had a particular reason for insisting that Agnew be the vice president. And I don't think he sat there all these 4 years just to watch some animals fornicate in Nairobi. I think he's there for Kenya. I think he's there for some other purpose. And I don't like the people that move in and out with Agnew. I don't like his stand. He's come down against the media, youth. He's showing you where his head is at, and he's just one bullet away from what would take place. And I don't feel, the reason I feel that it would be Nixon that is killed, because there's so much effort to put Agnew where he is in this strategic position. Now, the populist vote could go, say, to Ted Kennedy or McGovern, and these are the people that seem to be taking the tie. Well, in Greece, you had Papandreou, who's been compared to John Kennedy. When John Kennedy won the election by this fluke, and could possibly win in 64, he had gone too far. He had to be killed. Knowing who killed John Kennedy and working 9 years on that and working at the same time on the background of Agnew, put him into place, and knowing that these murders happened, then you see the Computer and Automation has an article that McGovern or Ted Kennedy would be killed based upon computer information on the past political assassinations and conspiracies. Well, if elections are coming up and you don't want another John Kennedy, and you killed Robert Kennedy, and you don't want Ted or McGovern, if you keep killing them on the line, people may even say, okay, we'll take Hubert. But that isn't good enough this time around. You see, it would be much better, by my analyzing the various books and resources and material I have, to say that they'll create a lot of incidences of violence preceding the next elections, and then Richard Nixon will be killed. Because now we have the FBI and the Secret Service saying, what can we do? And then the provisions for taking over the government after Richard Nixon's killed are all set. Because Roy Ash of Lytton Industry has designed our new cabinet that goes into effect in 72 that takes away all departments that take care of the interests of the people. That's what fascism is. You know,
reference to Roy Ash?
Well, Roy Ash of Lytton Industries was very heavy into being a conduit of funds that overthrew Greece. And he is the man who has designed our new cabinet, who selected John Conley for Secretary of Treasury. He works in government he works in Greece with the people that overthrew it. He is a very important person in terms of designing our ecology program, our cabinet.
What position does he have with the government?
Well, he came up from practically nothing to be one of the wealthiest defense contractors in the past 20 years, the United States government is swinging all its efforts into the Navy Department of it. And Navy ships, of course, Navy intelligence is the conduit of funds for all the political assassinations and the importation of Nazis to this country from Nazi Germany. Roy Ash has, I have a whole follow if you want to do one whole show on Roy Ash and Litton Industries and their role in affecting the framework of our government on the books. You see, when a new ruling comes in about a jury system where you don't need a majority, and the justices argue that there's nothing there that says minorities have to be recognized, there's nothing in the Constitution. That's the way it read last week. The new laws of repression are coming down very quickly. And one specific comment of a justice of the Supreme Court, it says minorities can observe. There's nothing that says they have to vote. You can have three blacks on a jury now, and you can still send a guy off for life. It doesn't mean that they necessarily have the right to vote. They have the right to observe. That's the reading of the Supreme Court. You see, so the new Constitution that was designed in 1970 has provisions for one man to be president for 9 years and not have re-elections. He's accountable to nobody.
What new Constitution?
Well, there's a framework of a new Constitution designed, signed by the government to have agents. People studied it and wrote it up. It was printed in the New York Times in 1970. I have a file on that, on the new Constitution.
New Constitution?
Yes. And
this was printed in the New York Times?
Oh, but two full pages.
Provisional Constitution?
Remind me, and I'll bring it next week. The new Constitution will do away entirely with the Senate. There's going to be, they will be appointed by former vice presidents and persons appointed by the president, public officials. The new Constitution that has been drawn. Now, they don't say... this will be in effect in 1972. But I was doing some research this week and reading, again, parts of the rise and fall of the Third Reich. And when Hitler took his oath in January 30th, you know, 1933, he promised the cabinet they would remain. He promised them they'd have elections. 5 days after he took his oath, everything changed. So that all the provisions, I mean, what you have to say to yourself is these provisions are there. Who wrote this new Constitution, even if we don't use it? Who is doing away with the Senate? Who's doing away with the Supreme Court? Who is having a president that is 9 years and that counts to nobody? Then bar the Constitution does away with the Bill of Rights. You can no longer have the right to bear arms, and you can go into homes without seizures. You can do that practically now. But it does away with a whole list of Bill of Rights. They're immediately eliminated. Now, you want to know who in America designed that?
Who designed it, and for what purpose?
That's right. When it's all there, you see. So I think...
when the story came out, who was credited with this thing?
Well, they said they blamed Hutchins and the Institute down in Santa Barbara for doing the research prog.
How did the New York Times get it?
Chief Justice. Oh, the government assigned people to study a new constitution. And the constitution that came out in 1970... was identical to the way that Greece is run. And because Spyro Agnew is put into office by Tom Pappas and the CIA foundations and Esso Oil in Greece, a man that lives in Greece permanently comes over here and tells Richard Nixon, if you want the nomination, you have to take Agnew. Well, you have Agnew sitting one bullet away from a total presidency, and you have this constitution all set up that is working in Greece now, where the Senate is appointed and there's no more elections. They decide who will run for office. And next week, if there isn't any great assassination news, no person killed it between now and then, maybe I should bring it in and read it.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. I think people would like to read the new Constitution that maybe their framework of their government sometime in the future.
Is that a 1,000-word answer on why I think that Wallace shooting was setting the stage?
It was a little more than 1,000 words, but we'll overlook that.
It's hard for me, you know, when somebody asks me a question, to condense it to one sentence, because the answer I get is, that's not true, you know. Or the answer, you got this particular person says, made paranoid. Well, my answer to people who call me paranoid is, if they read the same things that I do and see something different, that is interesting. But if they haven't read the material that I've accumulated, which comes through their news media, and they haven't seen it, how do they have a basis to decide that there isn't more to worry about than they're worrying? I think the response of people today is a mental sickness that borders on being autistic, that people don't even speak up. They're as mentally sick in a way because their voices are not heard and they're responding in a way that's not appropriate to what's really happening.
Yeah, we have about about 10 minutes left, so...
Okay, we're going to go back.
Fly through this.
Well, I made a lot of notes on Bremer. Our Monterey Herald, I'll take an article that was in the Monterey Herald, because people can look this up as a reference. It was May 29th, last Monday, called Bremer Left an Erratic Trail Months Before the Shooting. We might say that Wallace was shot on May the 15th, and we did a show that Saturday on the 20th. And I predicted that that was going to be a conspiracy based upon the news just from Monday to Saturday, and why I thought that Bremer would be tied in with intelligence agencies. And it had a lot to do with the cover story. No conspiracy, that they said right away, loner, misfit, that they used for Oswald Ransirhan, which were not the right adjectives. And he had no accomplices, which was impossible to find out within 5 days. You know, the Justice Department didn't even know where he had been. And they said that one day after Wallace was shot, or the same day. And then they said he was influenced by Sirhan and Oswald. And I knew that was a cover story. It's funny, the article this week said that on May the 5th, he was dashing around from different cities in Michigan, Milwaukee, but he goes into the library in Milwaukee and checks out two books on Sirhan. Now, from May the 5th until May 16th, if you read where he was from Milwaukee to Cadillac, Michigan, to Maryland, and back to Kalamazoo, Michigan, then back to Maryland, he didn't even have time to read those two books. So that was a cover story. Connecting, they're trying to show, see, the actual facts are now that he made a lot of trips, 900 miles in one day, which is practically impossible. And this goes in again, the doubles. There were two Oswalds that looked alike. There were two Rays. There were two Sirhans. And the FBI and the news departments are trying to put together where Bremer was. And I think he had a double, like there were two Lee Harvey Oswalds. They were floating around the Dallas area and New Orleans and Mexico. And now you have Bremer, which is an impossible situation, with car licenses in one place. And don't forget, the first suspect that was picked up in Maryland was caught switching license plates from Georgia to Maryland. So, you know, they're trying to figure out how he could get all these places, you know. But the point I want to make is that it was only May the 5th that he checked out these books on Sirhan. And then he did hundreds of miles of traveling from May the 5th to May 15th. So the cover story that he was influenced, like all the other assassins, that you're going to lump Oswald, Sirhan, Ray, and Bremer into one package is so contrived. It's an outright lie. And I hope somebody will begin to insult your intelligence. So anyway, this article, we'll go into this article, the May 29th, because what I'm going to talk about, we don't have much time, I'm going to talk about the path that he took. And on the other side of the paper, I outlined the things that the FBI couldn't figure out. So it's 2 weeks since the shooting of Wallace, and the FBI is admitting that there's puzzling aspects to this Milwaukee shooting. And it said that major portions of Bremer's time, major portions, are accounted for from April the 4th to May 15th. Some of them are left out, but they don't have anything for him from January 21st, when he left his job, until April. Now, I'm going to read the discrepancies that the news is talking about after 2 weeks after the shooting, and asking how Mr. Patrick Gray III of the Justice Department said it was no conspiracy, how the head of the Treasury Department, the chief of police, said he was alone, that he had no accomplices. Remember, those articles that we saved came out immediately after the shooting. Now they're admitting there's a big gap from April 20th to 27th. By telling you, on the one hand, that he was found with only $2 means he's down to his last nickel, he's got this beaten-up car, and he's just a poor derelict. But if he stayed at the Waldorf Astoria 3 days, he could be at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles from April the 27th. The point is, as long as they don't know where he was, how can they say that he didn't receive money for things or account for how much money he had? They've already come out with what the balance was in his savings account. But why doesn't the government, if they don't know where he was, they don't know what he spent. So they're going to run over. This is what they did with Lee Harvey Oswald. They took all the money that they knew he earned, or unemployment checks, from the time he came home to the Soviet Union till the time that John Kennedy was killed. But under finances, I began reading the Warren Commission hearings and exhibits and found out he was spending over and over what they accounted for on a lot of the little things that they didn't even put in. And then what do you do with that figure, you see? So now they have a gap of April the 20th to 27th, and they were told that he was also in Pennsylvania. Now, once again, the FBI refuses to comment on all these investigations. Patrick Gray III, the new head of the FBI, who came in just preceding this Wallace shooting, stopped the investigations in Los Angeles of Salazar and other people. So why would he continue the investigations into this? He's being very quiet. The FBI isn't saying anything. There were inquiries into Pittsburgh, but the agency has not pinned down all of Bremer's travels. This is what they said. They have not yet pinned down. They've told you he has no accomplice. They told you he lived within his means, but they don't know where he was. And they don't know who he was with. But they tell you it was no conspiracy. Now, they said, there was a question. Did he have his car in New York City? He was at the Waldorf Astoria at a certain date, April the 9th. He stayed there two nights. And then he traveled 932 miles to be on a certain boat at 8:15 in the evening. But was there any proof after he took his car from Birmingham, New York, was there any proof that he actually had his car in New York City? So they're checking out his transportation by airplanes, which is, again, another trip or another name or aliases. You see, now the FBI says he traveled mostly by car. And this is the way I like to do my research and share it with you, and hope that when you read the papers, you learn something from this one-hour show. The FBI says he traveled mostly by car. That means they already know he used some other means of transportation, and they're not telling you, because he wasn't walking 300 miles or 600 miles, you see, and coming to a city, staying there 10 minutes, then returning back in another direction. If he took mostly by car, he only has taken an airplane once or twice. Who was he with? Why aren't they telling you the other means of transportation? If the FBI says he traveled by car, that's it, period. But they're telling you there was other transportation because he traveled mostly by car. They're revealing that. Then they say it is not known why Bremer left home so quickly. One theory was that he needed fresh supplies of money. Well, that's only a theory. How do they know he left quickly? They have him going to a lot of different places, so he had to move quickly. Now, on April the 5th or 6th, it is acknowledged that he was seen with associates. But they have not pointed out any associates. They have not denied associates at the Waldorf Hotel, the Sheraton Hotel. You see, this is what they did with the investigation of Jack Ruby. The Warren Commission said there was no conspiracy. And a month before they went to press, one of the attorneys writes and says, we can't say there was no conspiracy because Ruby's still dickering for his fate, meaning he's still alive. So we'll say, as far as we have gone, there is no evidence of a conspiracy. So the question is, how far do they really know? That we know that he was seen on a ferry boat with these other people, but the Waldorf has not said he was not with somebody, and neither has the Sheraton Hotel in Maryland said he was not with somebody. They just said he stayed there, but they did not say he was not with them. And from April the 20th to 27th, and from January the 1st to April 20th, they have no knowledge of him at all. Now, the Monterey Herald, I think it would be good for you people who do listen to the show to go to the library and Xerox, fold that page and copy it, May 29th, on Bremer's trails, because we'll compare them on another show to James Ray's travels and how he moved around into many cities, was seen with associates. Time doesn't allow on the program to go through every day of where he was. They begin with May 8th at the Waldorf Astoria, and then they take him to New York City and the Wallace headquarters. They have in April the Wallace headquarters in Milwaukee, and then back to New York, and then to Lansing, Michigan, and then they have him at the Lord Elgin Hotel in Ottawa, Canada, where he's photographed in the crowd with Richard Nixon. They have him back in Maryland at the Sheraton Hotels, and then bring him to New York, and then there's a gap where they don't know where he stayed. And some woman saw him in Milwaukee April 19th, and then the 20th, 27th, there's no record of his travels. Then he was back in Milwaukee and then April 28th, and then Ludington, Michigan, and then checked out his books back in Milwaukee and back to Lansing, Michigan. These are long ferry boat rides. He was seen in Cadillac, Michigan at a rally in May the 10th, 11th, Landover, Michigan, then the 12th, he was in Kalamazoo, and then back to Maryland, and he didn't have time to read those books about Sirhan and Ray, as I say. But I feel, as I outline this article on his trail, that what you're getting here is a summation of what I've said on the last 2 weeks' shows, that the real Bremer is far from being told. The story is far from being told. He was with people. He had access to fancy hotels. He purposely was losing his traces. He was moving around in an erratic way, but it wasn't purposeless. It achieved what it wanted by shooting Wallace, possibly wiping out competition for the anti-busing votes for Nixon, setting the stage. I say again, the shooting of Wallace was to set the stage in the fact that if somebody killed any candidate before our election in 72, there's no guarantee that he would be protected. It's been proven now by the camera. So, Phil, I don't have time to go over all of the comparisons I've been working out since the first Wallace shooting, comparisons between Bramer and the other alleged assassins, but we don't have time to go through those now.
Right, we're out of time.